Well, good morning, everyone. Bring your greetings in the name of Christ. It's good to be here again today, the Assembly of the Saints. I, too, was blessed by that Sunday school lesson, by that positive lesson. I agree with you, Philip, there. It was getting a little discouraging with all those kings that just, one after the next, maybe they started out right, but just made a mess of things and turned to idol worship and led the people astray. And I was just blessed by this positive example of King Hezekiah and how he turned his heart to God and to got right worship restored there. I was blessed by the discussion there. Thank you too, Joe, for those devotional thoughts on faith and fear. What's your outlook going to be? It's your choice. Are you going to trust God, have faith in God and His leading, or are you going to be scared? You're going to fear the future? It's really, really up to us. Trust God will be honored by our time here today and through the message as well. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to John chapter 6. Very familiar story here that we want to look at this morning. And in fact, it's so familiar to us, so familiar to me, that many times reading over it or looking at this story and other familiar Bible stories, Bible passages, you know, I tend to just hear it or read it and kind of, in my mind, just kind of breeze over it, you know. I already know what's here. This is old stuff. And this story that we want to look at is what we commonly refer to as the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the 5,000 fed, something along those lines. And at home, we read this recently, and I believe it was the Children's Bible Storybook, and I was blessed. You know, it's a good old familiar story, but I found a new meaning in it. And this is the account we want to look at here this morning. This story is given in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all record it. And it's interesting, each writer gives it a little different twist. Gives it a little different flavor, different details that we have in each account. And I was a bit undecided as to which one to share, which one I would read this morning. And I actually have decided to read two of them this morning. I couldn't find just any one brought everything out that I'd want, and I'll still probably refer to all four accounts for some details. So I'd like to read John's account of this story, and also then we'll read the one by Mark. John chapter 6. I'd like to read this time, starting at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that has come into the world." Maybe I already referred to this, but I'd like for us this morning to look at this anew and not just breeze over this passage, but take a fresh look at this story and see what we can learn from it. You know, all these Bible stories are written for us to learn from. And especially I'd like to learn from Jesus and his example, the example he set for us. Now, turning to let's see, I have John written down. I believe it's Mark 6, where we want to read. Mark's the same chapter in Mark as it is in John. And I'll just go right into to reading the account as Mark would have it, starting in at verse 31 here in Mark 6. "And he said unto them," Jesus talking here, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. The people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' He answered and said unto them, 'Give ye them to eat.' They say unto him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat?' He saith unto them, 'How many loaves have ye? Go and see.' When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." We'll stop reading there. See here that the different details that we see brought out in each of these and the others. Bring out some other details as well. Now, what was the background here of the story? What led up to the story as we have it here? Maybe I'll go over a little of that. Jesus was busy. He was preaching. He was teaching, healing the people, and just previous to this, I believe it's referred to in Luke 9, in Luke's account, he sent out the disciples. I believe it was in pairs. I'm not sure about that. He sent out the disciples. He said, "You go to all the surrounding towns and teach just like I'm doing." He gave them authority over the devils. It says they were to heal. He gave them power to do that. And they were to preach the kingdom of God. So the disciples had done this. I imagine they were gone for some time, maybe several weeks, I don't know, maybe several days at least. And I believe they just returned here to Jesus And I believe it says that in verse 30 here, if you're still there in Mark 6, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. They had just returned and told Jesus how it went for them, everything that happened. Just gave him a little rundown of their experience. It also seems about the same time here, it's mentioned in three of the four Gospels, just prior to the account here, that John the Baptist had just been killed and lost his life. Herod had him put to death. Remember how that story was. And the disciples of John brought this news to Jesus and his disciples, and it seemed like it was possibly about the same time. If you read several of the accounts, it seems like that news kind of came right at this point too. And this was likely fairly discouraging news for them. It was, John had been the forerunner of Jesus. John had been a great preacher and had a following, had disciples, had pointed many to the way of Christ, I believe. Jesus' disciples had just got back from this trip. They just got the news of John the Baptist's death. I believe they were a worn out bunch. They were tired. Here was Jesus. Well, what was he doing? Well, he was just as busy as ever. He was just busy teaching, preaching, healing, talking, ministering to the needs of people. Many people were coming and going. It says here in verse 31 of Mark 6, it says there were many coming and going, and there was hardly even, how does it say, they had no leisure so much as to eat. Hardly had time to even get a bite to eat, it seems. And I believe Jesus here knew how worn out, he knew his disciples, he knew how worn out maybe they were feeling, possibly. He knew their limitations, both physical, mentally. Jesus said, "Come, let's go find a quiet place. Let's find a place we can rest a while." And so that's what they did. It says they headed out by ship, privately. Headed out to a remote area, I believe, a desert place, close to the city of Bethsaida. Don't know if that says that here, but one of the accounts brings that out. It says they went by ship privately. I don't know what all that means, but it seems like maybe they kind of quietly snuck out of there. It wasn't just published where they were going. Maybe they left at the end of the day after things quieted down. They were planning to get to a quiet spot, to this desert place. Maybe they were planning to go. Maybe they left in the evening and were planning to arrive there the next morning. I don't know. We're not told that. However this was, people found out about this. It says people saw them leaving. Somehow people knew where Jesus was going. I'm not sure if it was a small enough lake they could see that boat, and they kept track of it, or what the story was. But the news spread, and people knew where Jesus was going. It says they came out of all the surrounding cities there and traveled by foot. It says here in Mark that they actually outwent them. They got there before them. They went by foot and made it in better time than that boat. So here Jesus and his disciples got across to the other side of the lake. This is a place that was supposed to be maybe a vacation, I don't know. It was supposed to be a quiet place, a desert place. And here is this great big crowd of people waiting for Jesus there on the other side. Well, what was Jesus' response to this? Did he say, "Sorry, we're on vacation. Just go back home. We need a little quiet time here. We'll be back in a day or two. Just give us a little time." That's not what we see at all. What does it say? says he was moved with compassion. I believe it brings that out in two, both. There's two Gospels that bring that out. He was moved with compassion for these people. He cared for these folks. Felt sorry for them. They were like sheep without a shepherd, it says. What does that mean? Sheep without a shepherd. Well, sheep as we know them, I don't know how familiar you are with sheep. I'm not real familiar with them, but they're not a self-sufficient animal, at least not the domestic ones that we know. They need someone to care for them, someone to feed them, give them water, protect them. You know, without a shepherd, sheep are in pretty big trouble. And these folks, these people, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed a spiritual shepherd, I believe. Jesus saw that. He needed a spiritual leader just like you and I, each one of us. They had needs, physical needs and spiritual. He had compassion on these people. And it says in Luke, we didn't read that one, it says in Luke 9, verse 11, it says that he received them. He received them, it says, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. You know, Jesus never turned people away that I know of. And here he was, right back to teaching and healing people, just like before they had come to this side of the lake. And so there they were the rest of the day, I believe. And it says the day was spent, was far spent. It was evening. And it seemed like maybe some of the disciples were getting a little bit nervous, you know. Maybe Jesus is forgetting what time it is here. Maybe he had to notice that these people hadn't brought their lunch. Wasn't this going to be a real problem here? Seemed like maybe they thought Jesus needed a little advice. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you see? We're in a desert. There's no food here. There's no lodging here. Send these people away. Send them home. You know, if they get started now, they just might make it by dark. What was Jesus' response? Jesus wasn't the least bit worried. In Matthew's account, in verse 16 of Matthew, of that chapter there, he said, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And we have it here in John's account. Turn back there, John chapter 6. He turned to Philip and said, Philip, you're, in essence, you're from this area here. Philip was from Bethsaida. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. You know of any grocery stores around here we can buy food from to feed all this crowd? It says he wanted to test him to see what he would say. That says he wanted to prove him, sorry. And we see Philip thinking a little bit, does a little mental math quickly, and says, well, we might be able to scratch together, you know, 200 penny worth. Maybe we come up with that much money among us all here and put it together. Jesus, that's not going to be near enough, buy near enough food to reach around. It's not going to be enough. And then Jesus asked them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. I forget which account. Not all of them record that. And after they did a little searching there, Andrew came and said, here, we have a lad here. He has five barley loaves and two small fish. But Jesus, what difference is that going to make in feeding a crowd like this? You know, and Jesus never, we don't have it recorded that he answered that question, at least not with words. But you know, he went on to take that simple little lunch of barley loaves and fish, very common food, I believe, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks for it, and began breaking off pieces and giving it to each of the disciples. And they distributed it out to the people. And it says everyone was filled. Everyone had as much as they would, it says. And after the meal, they cleaned up all the leftovers. There were more leftovers that they cleaned up than the amount of food that they had started with. It's a total miracle that Jesus did. Well, what can we learn from this story? Title I've given the message, I don't believe I gave it yet, is Lessons from the Story of the Loaves and Fishes. Lessons from the Story of the Loaves and Fishes. So what can we take home from this? What can we apply to our lives? What can we learn from Jesus' example here? The first one I have, we can learn to have a heart of compassion like Jesus did here. And I already referred to that. Mark 6 there, verse 34. It says he was moved with compassion toward them. It was a compassion that moved him. You know, I think you could see that compassion written on the expression of his face as he saw that group of needy souls there. Souls that were there eager to see Jesus. And certainly you could hear that compassion as he spoke kind words to them. And you could see that compassion in his actions as he did works of kindness, as he healed the sick among them. Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, our God is a God of love and compassion, is he not? He's not willing that anyone, any soul should perish. You know, how is it with you and I today? Followers of Jesus Christ, you know, we're endeavoring to be like Christ, aren't we? Is this heart of compassion that Jesus had, the heart of compassion that our Heavenly Father has, is that a trait of you and I today? How about as you observe people around you, bound by sin, bound by Satan, bound by the lies that he has them believing, do thoughts of pity and compassion go through your mind as you think about that? Do you feel compassion for them? Are there kind words and actions that come from your life and mine as we relate to these people? What about as I relate to my own church family, my church brothers and sisters? Am I known to them to be kind, caring, an understanding brother or sister in the church? Do I treat them with a level of kindness, of care and compassion, like God has shown me? Or am I like that servant in the parable that Jesus gave? Remember how that was? He went out and took his fellow servant by the throat and said, "You pay me every last cent that you owe right now." That servant forgot what a huge, enormous debt that his master had just forgiven him. Let's not be like that servant. Let's learn to be compassionate as Jesus was here. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I think that's a good verse to keep in mind. I see here also a lesson an example for us that Jesus left us of total unselfish service. You know, Jesus was interested totally in the good of others here. And he took little thought, little no thought for his own personal benefit. It was all about serving others, meeting their needs, you know, physically and spiritually, and ministering to others. Put others in their welfare first, maybe even when it changed his plans or conflicted with what he had planned. How is it with you and I, once again? Am I today putting the good of others ahead of myself, ahead of my own interests? Some verses that came to my mind from Philippians 2. I'll read a couple of these. You can turn there if you care to. You don't have to. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What does it say there? Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, that's quite an order, isn't it? How am I doing in this as a follower of Jesus Christ? I don't believe it's something that's possible in our own strength, is it? It's only possible with Christ, the power of Jesus. And it's not something we can do in and of ourselves. It's not natural to us. You know, it's just human nature for me to look out for me, myself. I look out for myself and then maybe we'll give others a hand once my needs are met. But no, it says let each esteem other better than themselves. Jesus first, myself last, and others in between. I believe that's a good motto. That children's song, I believe it's a good motto to keep for us to keep in mind. The next lesson I would pull from here is a negative one. I mentioned earlier how it seemed like maybe the disciples thought they needed to give Jesus a little help, a little advice here. You know, it's time to send these people on their way. Maybe they thought Jesus was getting so busy teaching and healing that he's forgetting what time it is. You know, it's pretty obvious to them. Jesus should notice there's no food. There's no lodging out here. It's going to be a problem here in a little bit. And the solution was obvious to them. Just send them home. That's what we need to do here. Just send them on their way. And the problem will be solved. What about you and I today? We ever like this? We ever like the disciples here? Do I ever try to dictate to God how it should be done? You know, God, here's a problem that I have, and it's pretty obvious what the solution is, I think. Here's the solution to that problem. So, Lord, why don't we just get on with it? Maybe making it more practical. You know, Lord, we have this coronavirus going around here that everyone's worried about. Why don't you just heal those that are sick? Just stop the coronavirus. Make it go away. And Lord, it's obvious who should be the next president, right? Could you please put this person in office for us? Is that how I talk to God? Do I dictate to God how it should be? How I think it should be? Or maybe I don't talk like that, but do thoughts like that go through my mind? Do I dictate to God how it should be? Friends, this morning, that's not our job. You know, the Lord isn't sleeping this morning. He sees our needs. He sees the problems we face. You know, Jesus wasn't sleeping here either. He didn't forget how late it was. He saw the needs. He didn't need their advice. He didn't need their help for this problem. You know, God doesn't need our help today either. Our God is fully capable. He's fully in control. Sure, I believe we need to bring our problems to Him. He wants to hear our requests and needs. But you know, that's where our job ends. We bring our problems to God, but we leave the solution up to Him. That's His department. It's not for us to decide. We need to pray, God, if it's Your will, and then leave it there. Leave it with Him. You know, it just might not be His will to just stop the coronavirus in its tracks. He might be wanting to teach us something. Maybe He has a lesson for us to learn. Maybe a lesson in patience. We need to pray that God's will be done, not mine. Moving on here. What else do I see here? What can we take from this? In Matthew's account, of chapter 14 of Matthew, after the disciples suggested sending this crowd away, we have Jesus' reply in verse 16. He said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." What do I take from that? There's a spiritual truth that I'm reminded of here, is that Jesus never turns seeking souls away empty. He doesn't do it. He has plenty of spiritual food for everyone, for you and I, and for everyone this morning. He's the bread of life. It's what we quench our hunger with. And salvation is rich and free for everyone. There's no one left out. Jesus is the good shepherd, and His sheep don't need to go hungry. He's the good shepherd and feeds His sheep. Jesus never sends seeking and hungry souls away empty. Another point I would make from this story is that Jesus doesn't ask for resources that we don't have. And I take that from verse 38 that we read there in Mark 6. He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go see what food you have." He didn't say, "Go collect a basket full of food. We need at least that much to start out with." No, He simply requested, "Go see what you have." And when they brought that, and He worked with that. And I think there's a lesson for us in that. You know, God doesn't ask of us resources that we don't have. You know, sometimes it might feel like God's really asking a lot of me here, you know. We feel like we're getting pushed to the limit. He's requiring things that I can hardly do here, can hardly handle. You know, God doesn't. We have promises that tell us that, like 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Tells us that God will not allow a temptation to come our way that's greater than we can bear. But He'll always provide a way of escape out of that temptation. And we have that brought out in the parable of the talents that Jesus gave. Remember that. Familiar to us. You know, that Lord that gave His servants the talents there and went on a journey. He didn't come back and require 15 talents from that servant that He only gave one. But that servant was required to use that one talent that he had. God doesn't require resources, my friends, that He doesn't give us. But He does expect us to use what we do have, what He has given us. He wants to bring our few loaves and fishes to him. You know, these five barley loaves and two fishes that this boy had, I doubt they were really all that special. I think it was just common food. And maybe they were a little dried up from being in the sun all day. And sometimes it might seem like that with our talents, with our resources. It's like, what do I really have? You know, are my resources and my talents just like a few dried up pieces of bread and fish? But you know, as we bring these seemingly insignificant and maybe just common, ordinary resources to God, you know, God can use them. Isn't that a blessing? He can use them for His glory. And He's just ready to multiply our little bit of bread and fish, isn't He? Well, there's one more simple lesson that I'd like to pull out of this here this morning. And I'd like to bring this out especially for you children here this morning. Children, did you hear me read about this boy that shared his little lunch with Jesus? You know, he was a real good example to us, wasn't he? Real good example of sharing. You know, the Bible doesn't say, hardly says anything about this boy. All it says, there's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. We don't even know his name. We don't know how old he was, if he was 6, 8, 10, 12. We don't know. But what we do know is that this young boy, he had a little lunch and he was willing to give that lunch to Jesus. You know, that boy could have said, when the disciples came checking around to see who had food, "Yep, Andrew, I got some food here, but this is my lunch today. This is what I need to hold me over till tomorrow. It's for me. It's too bad everybody else forgot their lunch. That's just tough for them." But no, it's not what he said. That boy shared his lunch with Jesus. And it's a good lesson for us, isn't it? For us in sharing what we have, however small it may be, with those that are in need. You know, when that boy got up that morning and packed that little bit of food, or maybe his mom packed it for him, you know, he probably had no idea, I'm sure he didn't, that little bit of food, he was going to give that to Jesus, and Jesus was going to feed 5,000 people with it. Now, we know Jesus didn't need his food to feed 5,000 people. Jesus make a miracle and create food. You know, children, many times, that's how it is for us. You know, we don't know what will happen in a day's time. And probably most days, there's not going to be a big opportunity, a big chance to do something good. Most days, these things don't look so great. But it's those little things that come up in everyday life that you can do for Jesus. Just being kind, just being helpful, helping out where you can, being cheerful, being obedient to mom and dad, sharing with your brothers and sisters. Just these little things in everyday life don't seem big at all. You know, in reality, it's just like this boy giving his lunch to Jesus. And you know, children, when the boy gave his lunch to Jesus, you know, Jesus was pleased, I believe. And it blessed other people. There was other people that were happy. People were fed, and there was plenty of food. There was plenty of food even for that boy himself. And you know, that's just how it is for us too, isn't it? When we do these little things every day for Jesus, little insignificant things, makes your parents happy, makes God happy, and it makes life enjoyable for others, and makes you happy as well, doesn't it? Well, that's just a few things I pulled out of this story. And I believe we'll close with that. There's many other examples, I believe, many other things we could learn, such as how Jesus gave thanks and blessed the food and how there was an orderly fashion in how they were fed. Many little details like that we could learn from. But I trust this morning, as if we read this familiar story and dug in just a little bit, that you've hopefully been challenged and blessed in some way. May God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer.